You're now tuned in to Sheriff Says
Sup.
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
What's up? Today we have a very special show for you. It's all about
Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin what? Osama bin Hiding. Oh, hey, that nigga's dead.
Are you sure?
Yeah. They threw his ass in the water, nigga. They shot that nigga to death.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure you're sure?
Yeah.
Man, are you sure?
Well, you keep asking me, like, should I not be sure? Do you got something that you want to say?
Actually, yes, I do. And yes, I am talking to myself. All for your wonderful entertainment. I don't just sit around talking to myself all the time.
I only do it whenever I know that, you know, something's rolling. And I'm all like, hey, let's act real crazy.
That's what you wanted to say?
No. Just listen here. Alright, I'm really about to blow your mind. And to some of you, this is not going to surprise you at all. You probably already knew. Because, like, how could you not know? But, Barack Hussein Obama is actually Osama bin Laden.
So pretty please, tell me what you know about that.
Like, you could say I'm crazy and that I'm lying and that I'm stupid and that I'm making this shit up. And whatever you want to say, I don't care, dude. Like, at this point, I really don't care. I have no care in the world. Go ahead and say I made it up. I don't care. Because you can take the photos of them too and just start matching them up, bro. You can seriously match them up. It's the same person. The eyes are the same length apart from each other. It's the same person. The nose bridge is the same. You can't make this shit up, dude. But they did. They went in office, they made up presidency, and this whole last 8 years with the Barack Hussein Obama Osama bin Laden have been nothing but bullcrap. I'm trying my best not to cuss here, but, you know, this is my... Nobody's here, so nobody's watching as far as, like, this goes, so, like, what do I care, right? But, really, though, I'm gonna present some facts to you here, okay? Omar bin Laden, which is the son of Osama bin Laden, which Osama bin Laden's got, like, 30 kids, by the way. Yeah, 30 kids, okay? Whenever he was interviewed after the quote-unquote death of Osama bin Laden, he refuted the fact that his dad was dead. He said, no, he's still alive. If he's dead, you better give me proof. I do not believe that he's dead. I mean, I'd read it word for word, but this is basically exactly what he said. You know, he's saying that, he's like, there's no body. We were never provided with a body. They dumped the body out at sea. Show me the proof that my dad is dead. Pretty much word for word that he said. Now, I'm not going to say it's word for word. It was... But you look up Omar bin Laden, you know, he's even got this whole book out about being raised by Osama bin Laden called Growing Up Bin Laden. And now I haven't read the book, but I mean, just based on these interviews that he's doing is just beyond crazy. It's mind blowing. It's mind opening. It's eye opening. It's third eye opening. Even. I mean, I don't even know how to tell you this in any other way other than... This kid refutes the fact that his dad was dead whenever, you know, the SEAL team or whatever team goes in there and shoots bin Laden or whatever. He has no doubt in his mind that his dad was still alive at the point in time, right? Refuted the fact, said, give me the proof. And he said, even if he knew the whereabouts of his dad, he would still not tell you. Well, he says, of course, I don't know where he's at. But he says, of course, first. Of course. In other words, of course he knows where. Of course he knows. And of course he's not going to tell you. He used of course twice. Of course, well, he, in his words, of course I do not know the whereabouts of my father. And of course, even if I did, I would not tell you. So you guys, gals, and all of y'all do the math yourselves. Now, he also was in another interview. And I believe it was some time after 9/11, okay? Well, he tells a story about, you know, how he had to go sleep in holes in the desert. Go dig yourself a hole in the desert, son, and fall asleep in it. Now, why would he do that? Because, now this is kind of straying from the fact that Osama bin Laden is Obama bin Biden, whatever. But it's very important that you know this. He sent his son and his wife, one of his many wives, out to go sleep in a hole in the desert for the night to prepare for wartime. This kid has received 6 years of insurgent training. You know what that means? He's trained as a terrorist for 6 years. So we are not to welcome him here. You understand that? I'm really not trying to talk down to you, but I'm trying to say, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth right now? We are not to accept him. He has basically, in one of these same two interviews, because they just kind of run concurrent with me, but in one of these two interviews, he basically says that he's willing to fight a peaceful war. Well, what do you see here in America? We've got the Islamic Relations Group, CAIR, C-A-I-R, which they don't care. The only thing they care about is Islamabad and Jihad. It's ridiculous. But, you know, nobody else in mainstream media, nobody else in the almost mainstream media, nobody wants to talk about this. Now, there are people on YouTube that talk about this. There are people that I know that say the same thing that I said, and I have never even mentioned this to them. But they wholeheartedly agree and said that they have already come to terms with the fact that that's really Osama bin Laden a long time ago. Now, let's also talk about the fact that Michelle Obama is really Michael LaVaughn Robinson. L-A-V-A-U-G-N. LaVaughn. Or you can do G-H-N. Whatever. Either way, it'll come up with... it'll show you Obama and Michael LaVaughn Robinson. Now, there's this photo where he's Obama, or whatever you want to call him, right? Barry. Let's just call him Barry, okay? Barack. His name is Barry. I mean, he's got this whole fabricated past where he had a white mom and all this crap. But he also mentioned to somebody, he admitted to somebody that he was born in Kenya. Now, that's kind of ridiculous either way. Either way, that is still ridiculous that he was even president at all. Now, was Barack Hussein, I'm sorry, was bin Laden born in Kenya? I have no idea. Honestly, I really don't care. I'd love to find the facts out. But I mean, like, at this point, who knows, and who would even tell you the truth? Like, who went to school with this dude? Seriously. Who's going to step up and really admit to that? Because they, between Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama bin Laden, they've killed way more people than they care to admit. So, now we're going to, other than the fact that Michelle Obama, without a doubt, has a penis still, I've got a picture of, I've got proof, there is a penis in them tights. In her little Peter Pan spandex, that she's working out and she does a sidekick and bam, dick and nuts. I'm sorry to be provocative and vulgar, but dick and nuts. You can't hide it. I outlined it with a little Photoshop drawing thing. Like I drew around the nuts and dick. It shows the head, it shows the nuts. You can't hide it, folks, fellas and ladies and gentlemen. People, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't care what happens to me afterwards. What the heck are they gonna do? They've been trying to do stuff for years about me, and they failed every time. Every single time, man. Every time. And I'm not bragging. I'm laying out the facts. Facts is facts, bruh. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm gonna tell you straight up. Just seeing photos of Omar bin Laden, he looks like a really nice guy. I would kick it with him had I not known who he was. Hell, I probably have kicked it with him. Now that I think about it, he does look really familiar. But I don't even want to think about that. That's, like, my mind has already gone nuts as it is on this whole agenda that they try to push, on this whole Las Vegas shooting that they did. I mean, you guys know I went crazy trying to solve it. And it's getting to a point to where I am able to feel like myself again and not like some crazy investigator trying to figure stuff out, man. I mean, seriously. But with the way Michael Dunleavy acted in his office and had a black bodyguard come out to shoo me away and everybody just doesn't care all of a sudden, you know, and acts weird, it makes me wonder who was in that office with Michael Dunleavy. Because boy, were they really intent on getting me out of the building. Real intent. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. So I don't know if I have mentioned this, but yeah, I went and visited the state capital of Alaska and the building, and you know, it's Michael Dunleavy's office in there, and he's definitely in there. He's here in Juneau right now. Now he's not in his other offices in Anchorage and Fairbanks and all that, wherever he's got other offices at. No, he's here at the state capital, and he's quote unquote too busy to meet with me. But we are straying from the Obama facts. Obama. Like, Obama for Met. Like, whenever you take Natasha and you take Malia, you take those two names, you flip them backwards with Malia first and Natasha afterwards, it basically says, I am Satan. And with the letters that aren't used, says Allah. You do the math, motherfucker. You do the math. I'm just getting cottonmouth kings on you right now. You do the math, motherfucker. You do the math. Straight up, man. Here, I'll even give you the keys to... Those are the keys to my Jeep, bro. Take them for a spin, dude. Take them for a spin, bro. Because it's just really ridiculous right now. Streets is ridiculous right now. Streets is. But we're gonna back this on up because this is about Omar right now. Omar, he seems like a nice guy. He's got, I wouldn't say dreads. It looked like his hair was just long and braided. And he's got a biker jacket on, like a leather jacket. Like, I need your jacket, your motorcycle, and your shotgun, or like whatever. Like, just look, man. Look for yourself. Look up. Just look up Osama bin Laden, you'll see, and you go to the photo section, scroll down, you'll eventually find Omar. When you find Omar, click the link, go to the articles, read them. Do yourself a huge stinking favor and read them now. It will open your mind, it'll open your eyes, it'll open your third eye, it'll open your brown eye, it'll open you up. You'll just... Just do it. Just do yourself a favor and do it. Now, there is another photo where Omar has a turban on, and it's the red and white checkered one. You know, and there he actually looks like a real terrorist. And there he's not so lovable and likable. But, yeah. I mean, just think about it, dude. These people are all over Vegas. They're in California. Dude, they're all over, man. All over. This place has, because of Obama, has started to become an Islamic nation, which is ushering in also communism from China and socialism from Venezuela and places like that. Communism and socialism and Islamism. I've never said that before, but Islamism. Islam just sounds nasty. I just want to put that out there. But, you know, I'm baffled. You guys, But look. Osama bin Laden and Barack Hussein Obama are the same guy. When you look at the photo, and okay, now I'm gonna have to revisit the photo that I was talking about earlier because I have strayed way far from it. This is a lot of information. I've been waiting a long time to tell you guys, and I wanted to be 100% sure. Whenever I say a long time to tell you guys, I started thinking about this back in, like, just after 2010 sometime. Probably 2012-ish, maybe. Like, late 2012. Even before, like, whenever I first heard Obama, I immediately thought Osama. But I didn't, like, really start trying to prove it and trying to figure it out until, like, early 20-teens. And it just started driving me nuts because this guy, Obama, was not doing what an American president should do. He was not doing what I was taught in history class that a president should do and should be like. No, he was not. He was one of the most awful presidents we've ever had. And he will always go down in history as one of the most awful presidents we've had. And hopefully we will never talk about him again, except to address the fact that he is one of the most horrible people in the world. One of the most joyless, horrible people in the world. He cannot have a good time. And he doesn't promote a good time. Just like Obama. That nigga doesn't have a good time. And he ain't even a nigga. Like, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna even address him as a nigga, because he's definitely not. He ain't gangster. He's just a fucking raghead wangster. That's all he is. And again, I'm sorry about the profanity and stuff, but, you know, I guess once you're trained as a sailor, you're always a sailor, even if you don't become a sailor. But dude, I am just, I am over the drama and the bullcrap. Just to think that I have to dedicate a whole podcast to this Osama bin Laden, Obama bin whatever, bend over, it's just beyond ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. You know, whenever I started getting poignant, to the point, clear and concise, and whenever I mean poignant, I hope that's how you say that word, but, or poignant, I don't know, whatever. But either way, whenever I started asking questions in a very clear and concise manner, without cussing, without being crazy, without looking stupid, they started to take action against me. Whenever I started investigating the University of Alaska Southeast, they started to take action against me. And whenever I say action against me, you remember, Sheriff says what's up? You know, Sheriff goes to prison or whatever? Oh my God, like, that's the result? They threw me in jail for 9 days. While I was in there for 9 days, they wanted to make good use of my time there because they know that I'm a great investigator. And I'm like, man, forget y'all. Just forget y'all, man. I couldn't believe it. Now, don't get me wrong, I appreciate the compliment of my work. Because believe me, that's a real major compliment. It really is. But to be thrown in jail for malicious causes, malicious reasons, and stupid crap like that, oh my God. I mean, you can't tell me what I'm in there for. But on that exit out, boy, they told me everything. So many words, but look, man, I'm probably talking about things I shouldn't be talking about in here, but I don't care at this point, man. I just don't care. I don't care. I mean, I should. I really should. But just thinking of the matter at hand here, this whole Barack Hussein Obama, look, I helped Montel Williams, which he will never probably ever admit this because this will put him in hot water. And it just seems whenever I say legal hot water, bad things happen. But you know what? Somebody's got to say it, right? But you know, Montel Williams, he wanted to, how do you say? He wanted to do this whole VA thing where he kept telling me and everybody else, you know, 22 veterans a day are killing themselves and all this crap. But what he's not admitting to you is that this is a stat back from, like, way, way back. Or actually, maybe it was around the same time. But look, the fact of the matter is he got crazy, up in arms, and he needed help getting the message across to Obama about fixing the VA. It was called the hashtag VA Surge. So he used his VA Surge hashtag. And we got it trending. And then on top of that, you know, I mean, like, you couldn't go anywhere without knowing about this. Like, everybody knew about this at this point. You know, let's do this. Let's get this done. Let's fix the VA. And back in 2012, we were trying to fix the VA. Well, Shishinki, who was working in the VA, he was the head of the VA, he steps down because of all the immense pressure that was coming on top of his head. He didn't like it. He steps down. He doesn't want to be... He doesn't want to look like the a-hole. He doesn't want to look like the one in charge of all this. So he steps down. He does the right thing, and he steps down. Cool. Huge win, right? Wrong. And here's why. Obama decides that he wants to now replace Shishinki with somebody else. So we're like, yes, all right, awesome, win, right? And this is the point in time where I tell other people, you know what? I tried to give Obama a chance. I tried so hard. So I gave him a shot. But what happened? Well, he replaces Shishinki with somebody who's even worse. To tear down the VA even more than it already is. And it took someone like Trump to come along and fix the issue. With a simple fix, nonetheless. And what fix was that? Well, let me swig my water and I'll tell you. That veterans could visit any doctor they want. They don't have to go to the VA. They didn't have to go to the VA. It was cool. It was cool like that. You know, what's sad is that, and I could be wrong about this, but my grandpa died in the VA. He just couldn't fight his sickness no more. He was really sick. He got into a wreck, swallowed his tongue. They cut part of his throat out. You know, a hole in his throat. And he basically had to talk like Ned from South Park, and it was awful. It was awful to see my grandpa go from a cool and courageous man to what he became in the hospital. Lifeless. But had he not done that, he might not have repented. He might not have become the man that he was when he died. He might have still been racist. He might have still been beating people. He might have still been doing the wrong thing. He might have still been cheating on my grandma. But you know what? God sat his ass down, paralyzed him from the neck down. Now, he could move his arms, but he couldn't squeeze his hands. So he became essentially a paraplegic. And I haven't thought of this in a long time. I always try to block it out because it's just one of the darkest times of my life was watching him slowly die. You know, he had done amazing things for me. You know, whenever I started to get old enough, he would take me places and he would do things for me and teach me things and introduce me to people. And I'm just like, what, 4 years old? 5 years old, something like that. Just a little kid. And he would do cool things for me and with me. He'd take me to the Waffle House. He wasn't taking any of my other cousins or anything like that to the Waffle House. It was me. Why? I probably won't tell you, but let's just say he felt bad for things that he did in the past. And so he was trying to make it up to the future generation. And he did. He made me a great man. He made me who I am today. And I will never, ever curse him. Ever. I might not agree with what he did. I might not praise him for the ways he was, you know, earlier in life. But from what I grew up to know him as, you know, repenting for his racism, he ended up liking black people afterwards. He hated black people. And, you know, I come from a very racist family. And I just was never like that. I was, honestly, let me tell you something straight up. I was afraid of black people, but not in a sense like I was scared of them. I was afraid to be caught talking to them because I knew what my family would say, right? But here we are in a public school where it doesn't matter. It don't matter. I mean, I had trouble even looking at black people sometimes. And this is whenever I was a kid in school. Well, I made friends with a black guy, an African American, and he's one of the greatest people I've ever known. And I can't really talk too much more about it right now because I'll start crying because I fucking love this guy. I love him, man. He's always been my best friend. Always. And don't get me wrong, I've got plenty of great friends after the fact. But nothing is ever going to replace what Nicholas Crawford taught me. He taught me that racism is wrong. That I don't have to be scared to talk to African Americans. That they relate to things exactly the same way that I could relate to it. That I don't even know how to put this into words, what he taught me. I'll just say he opened up my mind. He opened up my eyes to the beauty of what real true life is. And not necessarily acceptance, but friendship. Yes, friendship. He taught me true friendship, raw friendship. You know, growing up fist fighting each other. Well, one time. You know, I mean, we did so many things that I would never have done had I stayed to my white preference, okay? Now, I'm not only white. I do have some indigenous blood in me. And I know that a lot of people are like, even people who are indigenous are what? Some people don't even know that word. But that basically, all I'm saying is Native American. But Native American is disrespectful to say. It just really is. It is. And a quote-unquote Native American that knows that will tell you. And I've always said Native because I wanted to be respectful. But then I got corrected. He says even that is disrespectful. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what do I call you then? But I didn't know how to ask him that. But I found out later on, I mean, he's indigenous. Indigenous is the word, I guess. I don't know. You just call them by their tribal names, man. You see what I mean? Like, there's no race in it. You can say what you want, man. But I don't see it like that. Now, sometimes I might walk by somebody who's African American, and I might catch that old vibe, you know? The old, like, oh shit, I shouldn't talk to them, you know? Because, I mean, I grew up with that, right? But I never, ever grew up with racism. I never, ever grew up with racism. But let me tell you something. You see, I'm going to probably be very vulgar whenever I describe this, but you see a big black motherfucker, your natural instinct is probably to be scared. But then you walk up to that black person, you walk up to this African-American, and you're like, what's up? What's up, dude? And y'all are talking, y'all are relating. And you find out that this big black motherfucker not only will kick your ass, but at the same time, he's just chill. He's like, what's up? You don't want no fucking trouble. Are you kidding me? He's cool. Now, I'm not gonna vouch for every black motherfucker, just like every black motherfucker ain't gonna vouch for every white motherfucker, and every white motherfucker ain't gonna vouch for every Mexican motherfucker, and every Mexican motherfucker ain't gonna vouch for every Chinese motherfucker, and every Chinese motherfucker ain't gonna vouch for every Japanese motherfucker, you know, and I mean, this gonna go on and on. But the point of the matter is like, you look at racism, right? And you wonder, does racism really even exist anymore? Yeah, it does. It does. And I don't want to point the finger at anybody, but some of the most racist people come from overseas. Because a lot of the KKK and things like that, they just don't want to do it anymore. They're not about... this is also vulgar. The nigger hating. They don't want to do it no more. And we've covered this in another podcast before, and if you've been listening for a while, I apologize. But people need to know this. You know, some of you are coming here for the first time ever. You've never heard of me. You're like, who is this guy running for president? What is this all about? Let me tell you something, man. Racism, yeah, it does still exist. Some of them are Armenian. They are some of the most hateful motherfuckers on the planet. They don't want to let women have rights. They don't like, well, I don't know about Armenians, about this part, but you know, like, maybe Saudi Arabian or Syrian or whatever. They don't like certain races. Like, maybe even somebody from Lebanon might be super racist against black people, but they will let them up in their establishment to collect their money, because they know they'll probably spend. You know, who knows, right? It's sickening to me. I don't... Like, look, I'm heavily into business. I love profit. I love all that, right? But whenever it comes to manipulating a certain race a certain way to profit off of them, no, that is not okay. It's not cool at all. I do not like it. I do not think that that's okay. But to some people, they don't care. Money's money, and they're gonna get it however they know best. And that's fine, cool, more power to them. I don't have to be them. But I also don't have to agree with them either. But we're gonna back this all the way back up to Osama bin Laden. Well, he's from those areas, somewhere around there, right? You know, and to think that he will come back and try to be an African American is one of the most racist things I've ever seen in my entire life. You don't just pretend you're African American. Have you ever looked at an earlier picture of Obama and a picture of Obama now? Back then, he was more pale. Now, he looks even more black. That's no coincidence. I mean, okay, look at this. You look at Osama bin Laden's hair, it's black with gray tints to it. And you look at Barack Hussein Obama's hair, it's no longer all black. It's black with gray tints. Exactly the same. Look at two pictures side by side of Barack Hussein Obama and Osama bin Laden, and you will say, you know what? There's barely anything that's different between the two. Barely at all. But there are some things, like his ears just a little bit, and the height of his eyebrows. The eyebrows have been pushed down towards his eyes. And I mean, they look exactly the same other than those little bitty differences. And his lips look more like a female's lips now, which is gross if you think about Michelle Obama having a penis and all. But I mean, he looks like a clown without the makeup. You know, now that he's had all this plastic surgery. Well, now, we're going to talk about Nipsey Hussle. We're going to talk about, you know, Tupac. We're going to talk about Biggie Smalls. We're going to talk about all these niggas. All of them, man. First things first. Can you really take a look at Nipsey Hussle and say, damn, that dude is not Islamic? Because I look at him and I'm like, damn, he's definitely Islamic. He's got the beard. He's got the dark skin. That doesn't look black. Dude, Nipsey Hussle does not look black at all. I could be wrong. He could be totally black. Hey, I could be totally wrong. But let me tell you something. I do not believe that Nipsey Hussle is dead. I do not believe that Tupac is dead. I do not believe that Biggie Smalls is dead. I think they just wanted to get away from the annoying fame. Being famous is hella annoying. Hey, do that thing, man. You know, do that thing from that one show. Hey, man, sing me that one song, man. That would get so annoying after a while. It really would. And you'd want to fake your death. You'd want to get away from all the crap, all the haters, everything right now. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, thanks to Osama bin Laden. And you can say what you want. You can refute this all you want. But look, Barack Hussein Obama has had every bit of his past, quote unquote, sealed. You can't find out nothing about him. You can't find out any schools he went to. You can't find out any records he has. And then he finally gave you a birth certificate. And forensic scientists have said, or forensic investigators, whatever, they looked at it and they said, that's fictitious, that's fake. His birth, his social security number, the prefix, you know how the numbers all mean something? Da 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 da, you know, three numbers, then two numbers, and three numbers? Well, the first three numbers is the state that you were born in. Well, that number prefix is a Connecticut prefix. Like, mine is out of Louisiana, so it's got a certain prefix, and my mom has the same certain prefix because we were born in the same hospital of the same town. So, I mean, look at all the facts. I'm not even trying to sensation. I can't even say the word because it pisses me off so much that people use this word. I'm not even trying to sensationalize this. It's all fake. The whole thing is fake. And they want to usher in the Antichrist. They want to say he's Satan. They want to say he's trying to be a king. And if you certainly look at the facts, he's certainly trying to be a king. He thinks he's a king. They all treat him like he's some kind of king. I mean, just look at John Brennan. Do you think he worships God? No. That dude looks like a freaking gargoyle. I'm not trying to be hateful. Really not trying to be hateful. I'm not even trying to pretend that I'm hateful. But look at these people and imagine what they're possibly doing behind closed doors. It's gross. It's nasty. It's freaking awful. And you can say what you want and think what you want and do what you want about me saying this. I don't care, bro. I do not care. Because the truth is now out there. You killed Joan Rivers because she spilled the beans on the truth. Who else did you kill? Like I was trying to say earlier. The Obama-Clinton body count is so damn high, you could build a wall with it. Nah, I could be over-exaggerating, but it's really that bad right now. It is so bad right now. Imagine this. I'm gonna take another swing of my water. Imagine this. You're born in the 80s. The worst thing you really had to worry about back then was poison candy and the Halloween candy. That was really the worst we had to worry about. Maybe getting abducted, maybe getting kidnapped or whatever. But if you had great parents that binge watched you instead of Netflix, then you had a pretty good upbringing and you had a pretty good self-esteem about yourself. And you had knowledge. Because your parents dropped that bomb on you. They dropped that knowledge on you. You know, and I started teaching my kids right from wrong. No, their moms didn't want that. Their moms don't want that. Because if they did, I'd still be around today. But I'm not. They have effectively used the law to kidnap my kids from me. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. They have effectively use the law to kidnap our kids from me. Which is complete bullcrap. And I say this because I raised my daughters, not baby mama. She gets rid of me for literally no reason other than self-pity and self-greed. And then replaces me with some piece of crap. It's It's just awful. Was she forced to do it by somebody? I don't know. I have no idea. But that's besides the point. All I'm trying to say here is that I have been royally messed over ever since I've started pursuing this truth crusade. I have been harassed, both online and in person. I have been stalked by Malia Obama and her friend, her best friend, excuse me, her best friend pukes in my car on purpose. I can hear her dry heaving and I'm asking if she's okay. And the famous last words of every Uber ride that ends up in puke is like, no, I'm perfectly fine. I'm good. Yeah, sure you are. You sure you don't want me to pull over? No, I'm good. Ralph. Every time. If somebody says they're good, pull over anyways. You're an Uber and Lyft driver, pull the heck over. Look, I probably said look 50 million times, but it's like I'm trying to come to terms with this for you. I'm trying to let you guys and gals really know Osama bin Laden was never shot, never killed like that. The Navy SEAL, the people, that whole story was fabricated. They did not land in the back of a house and clip the tail of the helicopter. When they said that they were staring at the TV and watching the live feed of Osama bin Laden's death and all that crap, they were staring at a blank TV, and somebody took the photo of them. And Hillary Clinton was the most dramatic of all with her mouth covering, like,
oh my God.
Yeah, because a blank TV is so, oh my God-ish. Like, get the heck out of here. Come on, dude. You know, between John Brennan, Michael LeVon Robinson, Barack Hussein Obama, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Osama bin Laden, all of these people, between James Comey, Robert Mueller, old Bobby, between all of these people, they are lying so much, so bad, it's awful. The lies are out of control. Whoa. For somebody to say that Jesus is, he's not coming back yet, no, it's bullshit. All the seals have been broken. All the seals have been broken, we already know. And if you deny this, you're a damn liar. If you say that, oh, Jesus is not gonna come back because of my, no, shut up. And do you know why you need to shut up? Because you're lying. And the fact that you're sitting here and acting like you know everything in the Bible and you can tell that, oh, I know it, it didn't say nothing, this is not happening. Like, shut up. Shut up. Just shut up. Shut the F up. Because you don't know. You weren't there, and you don't know. You can go off this testimony, right, that's in the Bible. But I'm gonna tell you something straight up, dude. Revelations? Can anybody tell me if that makes sense? Because I'm telling you right now, I've read Revelations for years and years. Like, ever since I was a little kid, I have been obsessed with the idea of Revelations. And I still cannot make sense of it. I can't. Like I can, you know what I mean? But at the same time, like, it's just ridiculous. Like, let me tell you something about the Bible. They took out a whole chapter, the Book of Enoch. Why? Because it exposed all the bad things that they did, all the corruption in the Vatican. Everything. Catholic corruption is everything. And you look at the fire at Notre Dame. Catholic corruption. Self-started fire. Oh, they conveniently moved all the artwork out of the freaking cathedral. Or whatever you caught on fire. I don't care. Like, that story is so stupid that I just don't care. Like, people are researching this for me. It's become, like, so self-sufficient. Like our society right now is so self-sufficient, and some of it is because of me, because I push nothing but the truth, the agenda of the truth, and people have followed my footsteps. That's why I say I don't care. If you could kill me, you could do the worst to me. You could get me kicked offline. It doesn't matter, because now the truth is out there, and people know. You're never going to be able to cover it up. It'll never, ever happen. You can try, but eventually, guess what? God is going to unsurface. I'm sorry. God is going to surface the truth. God is going to come here and say, you know what? Let me go ahead and just sweep my hand across the nation. We're going to take care of this. You're going to know the truth. But Osama bin Laden, Barack Hussein Obama, and all that crap, they don't want you to know the truth. Do you know why? Because knowledge is power, my friends. Knowledge is power. And now that the truth is out there, like, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. You're going to try to cover it up. But guess what that's going to amount to? A whole lot of nothing. Nothing. Nothing, folks. Nothing. It's just ridiculous. The levels of stupidity that this has risen to. This is ridiculous how awful people have become these days. How downright, redonkulous? It's pure ridiculous. Ridiculousness. Sorry, I'm getting tired. I'm sick right now. I should not even be doing this, but I couldn't wait any longer. I had to say sup to ya. What's up? I had to say something, man, because I cannot take this anymore. I can't stand the fact that we're all being lied to so hard that it's sickening is what it is. It's freaking sickening. I cannot stand the fact that we are lied to this hard. It blows my mind. It even bothers my mind. I'm sorry, you know? And to make it up to you for not being able to do something about this a lot sooner whenever it started to come to surface, I'm now making it up to you by giving you the truth, doing all I can to expose the truth for you, to get this out there, so that way, no matter what happens, you all will know. And like I said, they can come, but they can kill me, they can do the worst. They can do their absolute worst, and none of it's gonna matter. Nothing. None of it. None of it. Because the truth is out there, and everybody knows now. Even if I wouldn't have come along and did this podcast, dude, people know. And guess what? Whenever I tell them, it doesn't surprise them. They already know. They already know. And I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do to stop me or any of it. You can try all you want. You've already had me thrown in jail. You've had me thrown in the crazy house. You've done all this most unspeakable acts to me almost. You've done horrible things to me and all my constituents. Alex Jones, Craig Britton. And I'll just stop right there. Because everybody else is getting their 20 million minutes of fame for being banned from Twitter and all this crap. But okay, so I will throw in one more name. James Woods. I'm surprised that they haven't banned Trump right now. But fact of the matter is, they already have once. Not right now, but they have once. They've already banned Trump before from Twitter. They already did it. Look it up. They have banned Trump from Twitter before. And Jack claims that he wasn't there. He didn't even know about it. And they called him and told him afterwards. And all I gotta say about that is, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Like, they're gonna ban Trump without even asking or mentioning this to Jack at all. Total bullshit. You know, I called Jack on his shit. I called Michael Dunleavy on his shit. Who else did I call on his shit? I've even called Trump on his shit. I've called everybody on their shit. And what does that get me? Well, that gets me banned from Twitter. I'm serving a 7-day Twitter ban sentence right now because of this. Because I have a valid opinion. But here's what happens. When they do that, when you get banned, you basically have, now, alright, cover your ears if you don't want to listen to this part again, because it gets vulgar again. They are hate fucking the report button, and they've got friends that'll do it with them. And here's the worst part about it, is that they're getting so cocky with their libtard bullshit, is that they'll tell you that they're doing it and that they have friends that'll join in just to hate ban you. And I say hate ban, not for you being hateful, not at all, no. But they're hate banning you because they are a hate group behind this hate report button, and they'll report it until you get banned. They've got so many accounts and so many friends, they're all sitting there in their little fucking chat group, and they're fucking hate banning people. The fact that these fucking websites have report buttons at all is beyond fucking retarded.